Chapter 21. Ron was happy as he drove toward Jade's house. Everything had gone well so far. He had discovered that he still had 2 joints in his dwindled seed stash and mixed them with the last of his hash. He was almost sure that she would enjoy getting high. He was certain she was different from anyone he'd ever met before. He'd been too excited to take a long shower, too excited to drive himself off fully before he dripped his way into his room and slipped on his newly washed jeans. They fit him like a glove, and his stomach had disappeared. When Hank called, he seemed like a visitor from another dimension. Ron agreed to get together with him at 2 o'clock the next afternoon. It meant that he would have to cut his math class. Any excuse, he told himself. But best news of all was his loan check had come through. He showed George the voucher and asked to borrow $20. He was surprised when George gave it to him easily. He had decided it was better to pay the speeding ticket without mentioning it. He'd estimated almost perfectly how long the trip to Jade's house would take. When he found the place, he was exactly 7 minutes early. It was a large Cape Cod with a dark screened-in porch. He rang the bell and shifted his feet. A woman who approached the door wore an apron covered most of the length of her dress. Her gray hair was pulled back tightly along the sides of her head. There was no expression in her eyes. "Is Jade home?" Ron said politely. "My daughter's name is Clarice. Come in." There was an angry flatness in her institutional tones. She left Ron standing in the foyer and climbed the stairs to her led to her daughter's room. She found Jade standing in her underwear, watching her hips in the mirror as she turned them from side to side. "Someone is here to see you," she said, flashing her look of disapproval. She headed, as was her custom, to her room. She would wait there until her daughter left the house. Jade watched her go carefully. From under the blanket, she withdrew the antique tablecloth that had come from her father's mother. She draped it over her shoulders in the style of a semi-transparent toga. She pinned it at the waist and folded it so that only a hint of her panties showed through. She decided she was still needed a half slip and wiggled into one. She threw a sweater across her shoulders and went to meet him. When they got the car, she took off the sweater and spread the material out across her thighs. Ron couldn't believe what he was seeing and smelling. Her perfume was magnetic. Her hair was combed perfectly straight, down to the small of her back. "Do you want to go to the party right away?" He didn't care if they ever went to the party. He thought he would ask her to marry him. "Do you smoke pot?" he asked. "Everybody smokes pot," said Jade. "I got some hash joints. Would you like to do them?" "Let's go over to my friend Pearl's house." "Okay," said Ron. "Who's that?" "Pearl's my best friend. She's got a place in town. I stay there when I don't feel like going home." "Does she like to get stoned?" "Pearl and I? We've tripped together a bunch of times." "Great," said Ron. He hadn't ever tripped, and he hadn't ever talked to a girl who made him feel this free, this young, and this inexperienced. Pearl's apartment was located over a group of storefronts. Pearl herself looked like a faded flower. Her face was drawn and sunken, and her body was so sparse that she couldn't find clothes that weren't embarrassingly loose. Jade led Ron through the rooms like a prized bull. Ron smiled unknowingly, hoping to please his audience. Pearl's husband was in Vietnam. They'd gotten married 2 weeks before his 1A arrived from Selective Service. He was gone within 6 months. They thought about having a baby, but found that it was too late to matter. Did you think about leaving the country? Said Ron. You mean go to Canada or someplace like that? Jimmy's not the type who would let anyone think he was a chicken. Jade and Ron exchanged a look. Jade said that going to Canada was just as much an act of bravery as going to Vietnam, and that it was even harder to turn your back and try to start things over again. He just wasn't raised that way, said Pearl. And where has that left you? Asked Jade sharply. Ron saw a metamorphosis in her face, which hardened like a stone pillar as she spoke. Ron was about to break out the pot when Jade said they had to be going, and they might be back later. When Ron turned his back, Pearl mouthed the word fine and pointed in the direction of the room that they could use. Jade shrugged her shoulders and softly said, duh. Pearl smiled, so what? And Jade laughed as Ron turned her back and said it was nice to have met her. Ron lit one of the hash joints and handed it to Jade when they got back into the car. She took a long toke, feeling the smooth taste of the hash after the initial taste of the pot. She rolled her head back against the seat and handed the joint back to Ron. He was already alternating between the street and the whiteness of her neck and the way she stood out against the shadowy backdrop of the trees they were passing. After a few more tokes, she moved her head forward and let her hair hang down. Ron saw that it reached well below the car's seat. She cupped the joint to her mouth with both hands and straightened up, exhaling and shaking her hair so that it hung freshly washed in a slightly wild cascade. When we get to this party, she said. She then paused and started over. I'm going to this place with you, and most likely I'll be coming home with you. But while we're there, I don't want to be attached to you all the time. Do you know what I mean? Great, said Ron, not knowing what else to say. I'd like to get around and say hello to a bunch of people that I know, too. It's not that I'm not there with you, she said. Ron smiled over at her. I've never been out with someone who looked as good as you do tonight. He flashed the same smile on his high school dates with their sticky teased hair and panty girls. Jade quietly traced her finger along the outside of Ron's ear. He looked down at her thighs and thought he wouldn't mind getting 3 speeding tickets a day if they all ended like this one. They were pretty stoned by the time they got to the Birth of October party. From the outside, the place looked almost identical to the spot where the first dance had been held. Veronica's name registered in his mind. He looked at Jade. No comparison. He hadn't even touched Jade, and she'd excited him more than Veronica could have with the help of a storeload of aphrodisiacs. The porch was vibrating with music as they climbed its steps. 2 sullen, dark-haired guys were smoking cigarettes and standing on the opposite sides of the door. Guy said hello to Jade. Ron opened the door and the sound and smoke came out to meet them. Most of the people were sitting on the floor. Of the 10 who were dancing, 7 were women who held each other with a camaraderie that made them look like nymphs running over wild hills, picking berries. Jade had almost spotted someone she knew and was headed off with a goodbye that trailed back at him like an afterthought. Ron went looking for a spot where he could find something to drink. The joy had dried out his throat and wanted a cigarette. At the back of the room, he found Nan and Peter serving wine, beer, and soda, and something called potluck punch. Nan was moving effortlessly in the stylized gestures of a dispensing machine. Her face still hadn't changed expressions. Peter seemed to know everybody who came back there looking for something to drink. He waved his arms and talked continually as he poured. Nan acknowledged her name with a flick of her eyes. Ron waited for a moment to go over there. How's it going? He said. Peter started to answer, but then stopped. Wow, look at Jade. She was walking in their direction. She said hello to Peter and Nan and took Ron's arm and brought him closer. She rubbed the tips of her breasts along his chest and asked if he would get her a drink. Anything, his brain screamed. Anything in the world that you want. She was watching Peter. What's the punch got? Peter scrunched his mouth straight. I want a beer, she said, turning to Ron, drawing out the words. I'll have one too, said Ron. Ron handed him a bill in exchange for the glasses, but Peter shook him off. No, there's no charge for you. You're staff. Ron withdrew the bill and gave Peter a look that Ron thought said he was all right. A tall, slim-haired guy with a thin mustache had come up in back of Jade. He put his hands on her hips and drew her back towards him and kissed her on the neck. She turned and kissed him on the lips. Ron rocked back and forth on the balls of his feet. He clenched and unclenched his fists. Then he put down his mug and moved off in a direction where he couldn't see what was going on. That was what she had told him about. He could only look like an ass by getting upset. The evening passed like a series of brief encounters. Ron and Jade threaded themselves through the group, touching each other with an increasing bit of sensuality when they met. After a while, Ron enjoyed watching where she went. He got particularly excited when she rubbed against people. His eyes were drawn like a camera to the point of contact. When she danced, it was usually with Ron. There was no wild flailing of arms and legs, none of the twitchy jerkiness that resembled lurching. Her feet remained quite as still as her hips, and ass knocked out a baseline with a regularity that hypnotized him. Then they would just drift apart. Ron found himself against a wall, sliding down to the floor as he watched her. From this angle, the tablecloth was nothing more than a light screen that she used for the sake of mystery. The music ended and she walked over and stood in front of him. She was standing very close when he got up. Her tongue was sweet and thick as it stroked the inside of his mouth. His muscles tensed with an energy that flowed out through his hips and arms. She said, I'm ready to leave if you are. They moved to the door, a unit with a destination. Their steps were a singular sway, joined at the hip. They got into the car, lit a cigarette, rolled down the windows. Jade sat facing him. You know, I think I really had you all wrong, she said with a devilish grin. How? I was afraid that you were going to make me nervous. You were great in there. She studied his face. Have you ever tripped? No, said Ron. Have you tripped a lot? I stopped counting. It was there in the dark that he saw that her eyes were green. His mind repeated the racy report. The first time they had looked like a grayish simmer. What color are your eyes? He asked suddenly. The same as yours, she answered. She grinned down to herself. Hazel, she reassured him. Don't your eyes change colors with the seasons and moods and stuff? I always thought they were brownish, said Ron. No, she said. They're very green right now. People whose eyes change colors can't get trapped into a single way of looking at things. Come on, he said. That's not true. How could you prove something like that? That's just it. You don't have to prove anything. Things are always changing without anybody's proof. He wasn't sure that he understood what she meant. He asked her if she was hungry. She said that she wasn't. He asked her if she wanted to smoke another joint. She said not right then. As he nosed the car onto the highway, she said she just wanted to drive. He asked her if she wanted to turn the radio on. She said that she didn't care. He asked her if she would mind if he stopped to get another container of coffee. Annoyed, she said that she would have one too. They sat in the diner parking lot for what seemed like hours. Jade answered all Ron's questions about Woodstock and LSD. She was becoming patient with him, but she secretly loved the idea of someone being willing to listen to her and then ask questions about her experiences. She could never remember talking about herself this much. She loved the way he watched her face and always came back to things that he didn't understand. It made what she'd done seem to have more of a value than she thought it did. Ron confided that he'd imagined tripping was just like getting stoned, only more intense. She shook her head with a derogatory smirk. It's totally different. Ron tried to get specific about exactly how it was different, but she told him that it couldn't be explained. You can't know what it's like until you've tried it. What are you so afraid of? Ron said he wasn't exactly afraid. He was thinking privately about the shrinks they'd sent him to see after his shaking fits. It's just that you read all these stories about people thinking they can fly and staring at the sun until they go blind and, you know, not being able to get back. You have to be together to enjoy yourself. If you don't think you can relax with it, you should stay away. But do you think it can be really dangerous? Anything can be dangerous if you let it get out of hand. Ron felt rebuffed and wondered if he'd fucked up. They talked about Woodstock for the rest of the ride back to her house. He told her straight off that his friend Hank had suggested going to the great concert, but he couldn't get off from work over that weekend. And who knew? He ended by saying. She listened to him carefully and then began her story. Mostly, I was tripping my brains out too much to remember what happened. Everybody I met, it seemed, was saying, "Want some of these?" And I kept saying yes. She told Ron that she was going back there with her sociology class research group to talk to the local residents and find out about what their experiences had been. She showed Ron a place where they could park and smoke the other joint. Ron wanted to have a cigarette lit at the same time. Somehow he felt like a cigarette gave him a plausible story that he could hand to the cops. He and Hank had decided this was the best way to do things a long time ago. He was just about to light up when Jade asked, "Do you want to go back to Pearl's house and smoke it there?" A look of disappointment spread over his face. He didn't want any more of the tragedy of Vietnam. He shrugged his shoulders. She slid next to him and slid her fingertips across his chest. She undid his top button and pressed her palm against his skin. "Do you want to spend the night with me there?" she said. It was a long kiss. He arched his body until it was diagonal to the seat. He drew her hips toward him. He squeezed her ass. She wrapped her leg around his. He could feel himself get very hard. He rubbed it against the front of her pelvis. She moaned and moved back and forth quickly. Then she stopped in midair and drew her tongue back into her open mouth. She settled against the seat and opened her legs as wide as she could. The insides of her thighs were damp. He traced the slit of her pussy with his finger. She bit his neck and sent her hand out on a mission to find his cock. She got there and squeezed the whole area. She started plunking his cock from side to side. He didn't remember much of the ride to Pearl's house, but the sight of her ahead of him on the stairs was too much for him to ignore. He put his hand under the tablecloth and lodged it where everything came together. She stopped climbing with her back towards him and reached around to bring him closer. He wiggled his fingers and she shook her ass and let a whispering moan escape her. Ron picked up her scent and was more excited than he thought possible. They finally got to Pearl's door and she slipped her key in quietly with the look of a thief. The apartment was dark except for a small shaded lamp that had been lit on the kitchen table. Jade turned it off. It was her signal to Pearl that she had come back with him. In the parlor, they closed the door and pulled out the hide-a-bed. Ron knew his cock would hemorrhage if he didn't get it out of his pants soon. He lit a cigarette and took off his shoes. Jade turned around with a worried look on her face and her tablecloth wrapped tightly across her shoulders. He got up and held her. He moved his finger down her spine and made slow circles on her behind. After a minute, she felt her fingers at the top of his thighs. She moved a hand to the center and traced along his zipper. Ron quivered. She pulled away and said, "I'll be back in a minute." She left the room without looking back at him. Ron tried to make himself comfortable in his pants, but things were too tangled up to fix them without taking it out. He did it quickly, laying it flat against his belly. It was hotter than the rest of him, and it bulged its head out at his waistband. He closed up and finished his cigarette nervously. After taking everything off except for the tablecloth, Jade came back into the room. She uncovered her breasts and walked over to him. She went for the snap on his jeans, crouching over him, pulling on it with her teeth. When he felt her breath through his jockeys, he shivered again. She slipped inside and took out his cock. She rubbed it up and down. "Do you want to get undressed?" Ron pulled away from her and went to the other side of the room. He was almost ready to explode. He tried to calm himself. Naked, he stared back at her direction, like he was trying to steady a pitcher that was filled to the brim. She didn't take her eyes off it when he walked. It wagged like a pointer's hungry tail. She put her hand back on it and drew him into the bed. He felt the silk of her legs on his legs. She lowered her belly against him. He began to shake convulsively and buck. At first, she looked down at him with a sense of alarm. She managed to say, "Not yet," as the first hot squirt of sperm splattered against her navel. It was exciting to watch, but the passion and expectation faded from her face as he continued to buck and squirt without her even touching him. She wondered if it was the first time he'd ever been with someone. It would be okay if that were true. She rubbed the throbbing dick as he moaned very loudly. She tried to forget about her own relaxed tension. His cock was getting softer and oozing clear drops now. "Ron, I'm sorry," he managed to choke out. I guess I just couldn't stand it anymore." "It's okay," she answered. "Don't worry about it." At the end of her words, her faintly audible, completely disappointed smile. She reached for some tissues to clean herself off. She handed some to Ron, who had difficulty looking at her. The tension that spread between them now was thick and different. He was going to say that he was willing to finger fuck her if she wanted him to, if that would help, or if she would just wait a little while, everything would be okay. He didn't know how to say either thing. He wanted to light a cigarette, but somehow thought the satisfaction it would give him would be insulting. He lay there quietly, trying not to think about what had happened. She thought that it would be easier if he said something or reached for her pack of cigarettes. When she moved, so did he. "I'm really sorry," he said, exhaling smoke as he spoke. "It's really no big deal," she said. "Ron, have you had many girlfriends?" He raised his head and looked at her. "I don't know," he said, and put his head back down. "What I'm trying to ask is whether you've done this many times before." Embarrassment flushed over Ron like he was a bum lying in the street when the street cleaner rode by. His first thought was to find a way to get the fuck out of there. She was really telling him that he didn't know how to do it. Look, he said with soft anger, the problem isn't that I haven't been with enough girls to know what I'm doing. The problem is I've never been with anybody as excited as you, ever before. They put their arms around each other and started again. His fingers found that she was still wet. He bent her legs at the knees and spread them with her feet flat on the mattress. He moved his thumb around in her like he was making ice cream. She lowered his head toward her pussy. He tasted her juice and confirmed the idea that it didn't bother him. He curled his tongue into a cylinder and pushed it in and out of her. She put her hands in back of his head and tried to guide him up to her clitoris. She took hold of his finger and tried to show him where she wanted him to rub, giving herself several strong, slow strokes with his finger. He rubbed and tried to shove his finger as far as it would go, brushing against her ass with his chin in a very small way that she liked. He felt his cock getting hard against the mattress. He had a rush of satisfaction that told him he was going to perform better this time. He slipped his finger around, rubbed the opening of her ass. She wiggled, delighted by the feel. Now he would fuck her good, she thought, getting up on his knees. She took hold of his still sticky cock. It grew in her hand. She couldn't say that he didn't have plenty of energy. She lifted up and sent her head down to kiss it. She felt a quick, convulsive shudder when her lips touched him. He lay back down. She opened her legs with an elegance that made him gasp. From the moment he was inside of her soft, wet pocket, he knew he was in trouble. His cock stiffened like a hose under pressure. He thrust deeply into her, hoping that he could just get it going and it would become more accustomed to the tremendous feel of being inside her. He was rigidly straight. She started moaning and rocking back and forth. Her cunt muscles flapped against him. When she took hold of his ass, he felt like a little boy holding his finger in the dike, being tickled at the same time. His hips began to move faster and faster. His mind screamed, "No, not yet, not yet." She was moaning easily and building up to a wonderful rhythm. She first felt him come through the tightening muscles in his ass. She heard the voice that she usually kept inside of her saying, "No, Ron, please, don't come yet, not again." Frantically, she bucked at him in a vain effort to get there too. He was squirting again. She continued to roll her hips around him. Maybe he would stay hard for a little while. A few strokes later, he withdrew his wet, selfish, shrinking little prick. She looked down at it when it came out of her. She hated it. Ron closed his eyes and concentrated on trying to disappear. After 2 long minutes, he heard her say that she was tired and wanted to get some sleep. He asked her if she would rather that he went home. She hated him again for that question. What else could she expect from a specimen like this? "Do whatever you like," she said into the pillow. She was looking at him sideways. "Well," he said, "I do have an early class. Maybe it would be better if I took off." Ron put on his clothes quickly. She let him out the door without kissing him. Ron beat his fist viciously into his leg as he drove up the highway. He called himself every name he could think of. He pictured the stupid look he'd had on his face each time he'd come too soon. "Taking that chance on me really paid off for her, didn't it?" He sneered, his voice dripping with disgust. He flashed on the beautiful images he had of her. Then he was reflooded with what she said and the looks on her face and how she couldn't even look at him after the second time. he didn't go to school at all the next day. It had taken him forever to go to sleep. When he woke up, he saw that it was after 11 o'clock. He slammed his hand into the pillow, angry that he'd allowed himself to miss an entire day of class.